20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Welcome into the Wednesday edition of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm Steve Peretz, joined as always by Dusty Evely, Sarah Kelleher, and we have a special guest. We have the winner of our listener contest. We've got Nick Gregory all the way from Australia. So screw Sarah and Dusty. Nick, how are you doing today, man?
Yeah, really great. Yeah, it's kind of surreal being on the podcast. I think the past 3 or so years, I've listened to basically almost every episode. It's definitely like a very like comforting experience for me, I guess. You know, kind of like, it's almost like a family or something. You know, you kind of just like tune in every day and you kind of get to know everyone. It's just really, yeah, it's really awesome to finally see you guys and talk to you in person.
Awesome. Well, we're really excited for this episode. Get to learn more about you. You can ask us some stuff and go from there. Now, obligatory, I'll have to ask Sarah, how are you doing?
Oh, gee. Thanks, Steve.
You're welcome.
I'm doing great. I'm excited Nick is here. I always think it's cool when we get to meet our listeners, and especially cool that you're all the way in Australia and we can just learn about you, how you became a Packers fan and some of your interests, and glad you could join and that we could make the timing work. But yeah.
Dusty, how you doing?
Terrible, Steve. Terrible. No, I'm good. I'm good. You know, Nick, yeah, sorry you listened to every episode for the past 3 years. We will apologize for all the nonsense we put you through with that, I guess. But yeah, no, this is great. We're excited. I mean, you know, I don't know about everyone else. I assume everyone else is as well. But I know I listen to a lot of podcasts, and you do get that feeling where like, you know these people, you know them, but they don't know you. And so that's one of the reasons we kind of want to do this. And we did this last year as well, is get to know some of the people that for some reason decide to listen to us. So so yeah, we're just thrilled to have you on and actually have, again, football things to talk about. So yeah, great day. Yes. Great day.
Yeah, we don't judge Nick at all for the fact that he listens to us for like 3 years straight. That's just that's a nice thing for us. Guys, we've got football to talk about, just like Dusty said. It's exciting. So training camp's going on. So I'm just going to hit the three of you guys and tell me one thing that you know, obviously none of us are in Green Bay, but what's one thing that you took away that you saw from Twitter, from some videos, whatever it was? Dusty, we'll start with you.
Like, I'm not in Green Bay, but I also feel like I am. We talked about this before. Between Andy Herman running it down, man, I just am refreshing his feed constantly during the practices. Between him and then Schneidman's wrap-ups and everyone else that's there, I feel like I'm there. So I'll start with a guy that everyone's talking about. I think Justice Mosqueda put it best today when he photoshopped a gold jacket on Romeo Doubs, and that's Romeo Doubs. He's been killing it. I've got in the back of my mind, I really hope this is not Josh Jones syndrome, where I get really excited about someone and then everything just, oh, guess what? It's not going that well, but pads are on. He's still making plays. So this is my favorite thing from today. This is from Schneidman's rundown over at The Athletic. I'm just going to read this little snippet from the one-on-ones. Dubs burns Stokes on a go route down the right sideline and hauls in a TD on a great throw from Rogers. Stokes throws his helmet down. Dubs gets a celebratory jumping chest bump from fellow rookie wideout Christian Watson. Now, Evan Siegel actually captured this moment of Watson and Dubs getting up in the air and celebrating this, which is awesome. The reason I love this is, you know, those guys, a couple of reasons. Those rookies together, they kind of got that connection. Obviously, still, you know, Watson could potentially be down a little bit. He's not out there, but he's cheering on his fellow rookie. That's exciting. I am not concerned at all about Stokes. I'm just celebrating Dubs here. We saw what Stokes did last year. Hoping he still carries that over this year. He's got a ton of talent. So it's one of those, we always talk about this, the practice, it's always this like, do I celebrate the big play of the by the offense, or do I go like, well, it was also against our defense. So like, is this good or bad? Is it both? I don't know. But like Stokes, I'm not concerned with. So the fact that he beat Stokes down the field on a go ball and all of that happened, it just makes me thrilled. I'm trying, like the rest of everyone in Packers Nation here, I'm trying not to get my hopes up about Romeo Doubs, and he's making it real hard. He's making it real hard to get on with my hopes up on him. So that's mine. Is Stokes over Doubs and Watson with the chest bump.
Yeah, I mean, everything that Dusty said, especially with Doubs, I've been all summer saying I think this was a good draft pick. I really like it. Every time we got a question about, you know, who was your favorite pick? Who do you think is the pick that's going to surprise us? That was the guy I said. So for my ego, this is great. And hopefully it continues so that I can make fun of Dusty and Steve and just say that I was right.
Whoa. I'm pretty positive I'm the one who said that out of all the rookies, that Dubs is the one that could have the biggest impact.
No, you said Quay Walker. By default, you said Quay Walker.
No, I did not.
That's true. That's absolutely true. You absolutely said Quay Walker.
Somebody can go back. Somebody can go back and find it. But we will have to
because I know I said Dubs. And both of you scoffed at me. And then Schneidman came out and said it too. So, yeah. I'm right. Both of you are wrong. Continue, Sarah. Sound right
to me. Oh, my God. This is why I hope I'm right. This is why I need to.
I am driving for 3 hours tomorrow to a golf outing. I have time to listen to these podcasts. I will do it. You know how spiteful I am.
I know. You're the most spiteful person I know. Anyways, so in addition to that, it seemed like Jordan Love also had a really great day, which is just nice to see. I feel like Jordan Love just gets so much unnecessary hate with all of the Aaron Rodgers drama, and people think he sucks. People say he's not good enough, that the Packers should trade him away. And so the fact that he's still showing up and he's putting in the work and it seems like improving year after year, all very good signs. So happy to see that Jordan Love had a good day. I believe Andy Herman tweeted that he and Devondre Campbell were the two standouts of training camp on Tuesday. So in addition to Dubs, I just loved that for Jordan Love.
Nick, what about you?
For me, it's definitely kind of like finally getting the full like realization of Rashawn Gary. Like when he was first drafted, you know, everyone knows kind of what the general reaction was. And I'm always like a stickler for that guy who's like a really hard worker and like kind of a physical freak. We kind of see like in the league now, a lot of these guys are starting to see success. And it's especially like the way last year ended, it's just really like validating, I'm sure for him as well, but me as a fan, obviously, to hear about how is every single player, it seems like he's just showing up, he's like stepping into kind of that hole that Z left, right? And it's just really like amazing. I'm so happy for him to finally get like the full-time role and he can finally show the league what he can do.
Just to, you know, pump my own chest, I was a big fan of Sean Gary thing when it happened.
I could tell something was coming. You had that smirk on your face. Here he comes.
Universally praised the AJ Dillon pick. Look at me.
Yeah, I did actually. I did do that one too, but nobody really cares. It's weird. I don't understand it. I think one of my favorite things actually is it piggybacks a little bit on what Dusty did, but it was just a tweet from today, and it was actually from Trey Watson Sr. And it had the picture of Dubs and Watson jumping together, and he wrote, "Dude jumped higher than Dubs while he's still rehabbing his knee. Boy, I tell you, that's a freak of nature right there." So, you know, the proud dad right there. I loved that one. I really thought that was pretty funny. So just talking a little trash, like, hey, that's really cool. My son's still going to be better, though. So I enjoyed that. But yeah, just a lot of good stuff that's coming out right now. It's exciting. We're all really jacked up that we actually have football to talk about. But right now, we're going to talk about Nick. We're going to learn a little bit more about you. So why don't you tell us just a little bit about yourself, like where you're from, what do you do, how you became a Packers fan, all the, you know, the nitty gritty details.
Yeah, so I'm Nick. I'm from Melbourne, Australia. Currently, I live in St. Kilda, which is basically like along the beach. There's like a really famous theme park. It's called Luna Park. I don't know if you guys have heard of it. It's kind of like, I'll send it through on the group. But it's like a giant like mouth that you walk into, and like all the rides and like the amusement park is like through this weird, creepy, like grotesque mouth thing.
I'm listening.
Did Dusty just in this place or?
Yeah, it's pretty scary to be honest. Like I'm not sure why it's marketed to kids, but anyway, I work full time as a chef. Technically, I'm an apprentice chef, but like the role and the job that I do is basically like a full, like the full role of a chef. I'm really passionate about food, but hopefully next year I can go to study music at university. I can play 6 different instruments, 7 if you count singing. And yeah, I mean, obviously I'm just like super like obsessed with the Packers, and that's kind of like my like trio of things in my life, I guess: food, music, and Packers football. It's like every morning I wake up, check Twitter, and you know, listen to the podcast, and kind of like the Athletic podcast as well is a good general one I listen to. That's me.
So how did your Packers fandom begin? I'm very curious about this story.
So it's kind of like a bit of a long road. So when I was like 10 years old, I kind of found out about American football because it's not super common here in Australia.
Right.
And I became really obsessed with LaDainian Tomlinson on the Chargers. It's like that look, the blue, the eye shield, mm-hmm. number 21. Number 21 is still my favorite number. And it's just like, oh my God, it looks incredible. Like what is that? What is that sport? And I kind of like got into that. I didn't like the Chargers. And then I kind of like, because I was like so young, I just kind of went based off colors. And then I originally liked the Cardinals, and then I shifted to the Saints, and then I kind of just like dropped it for a bit until I hit like 15 or 16. And then I was playing like Madden on my phone, and I got an Aaron Rodgers card to start, and I was like, oh, who is this guy? And I started looking at like the highlights, and you see like the Hail Mary, and this is like coming off the 2016 divisional game against the Cowboys. And so you see that like that incredible throw and like all the Hail Marys he's done the years before. And I was like, this guy can't be human. Like, this is not like physically possible. So I go deep into like what he's done and go into like the team. And like the more I found out about the actual team itself is when I started to really be like, oh my God, this is like actually the team that I want to follow. It's like things like, you know, it's owned by the town. The town kind of runs around the team almost. And it's like, this is so incredible to me that like in such a big league, in such a league where it's like a lot of it is, you know, like about like making money and things like that. It's like for them, it still comes back to the town and how they can support the community. And so yeah, I find it so amazing. Also, the green and gold in whenever Australia plays international sports, like in the Olympics or whatever, green and gold is like the Australian colors. So it was just really easy to justify keeping the color theme.
That's awesome. All right, I have another question.
Yep.
And it goes back to Australia. I feel like there are a lot of just stereotypes about Australia in general. What's it like to live there? You know, the weather, yep. everything. So what is something that people assume about Australia that you've heard that's just completely untrue?
Well, to be honest, I think a lot of them actually are true. Like we're not quite like riding kangaroos to work, but if you live out like kind of in almost like the country kind of areas, it's like very common. You kind of like have to drive slowly along the roads in case like you see like a wombat on the road or a kangaroo comes past. It's like quite easy to like get into an accident. So you have to be really careful. And, you know, like the wildlife definitely is trying to kill you most of the time. Like we have like heaps of spiders, and it's like, you know, it's like we got tiny little spiders that can kill you, and we got like massive spiders that will just like scare the hell out of you. It's a bit of a mixed bag, and you have like the platypus, which is kind of like, what the hell's going on there? But one that I think that isn't true, especially at the moment where I live in Melbourne, it's winter at the moment, and I think a lot of people think that Australia is like very much like a beach community, or like the opposite, kind of like there's like a big, like a lot of people live like in the desert, kind of in the middle of Australia. But the weather is like super erratic. In Melbourne, we kind of have like a bit of like a reputation in Australia for having like very unpredictable weather. And yeah, it's just like, you know, it can go from being super sunny to being super rainy and then cloudy and cold. And in Queensland, in the north, it's like, it can go from like, in the summer, it can go from monsoon rain to like 30 degree heat, which is like about 100 degrees for you guys, within the span of like half an hour. And it's just like very jarring sometimes. But yeah, a lot of them definitely are true, though.
It sounds a little bit like Wisconsin, except, you know, instead of kangaroos, it's just deer. So always on the lookout for deer and always on the lookout for kangaroos so you don't hit.
Yeah.
So I think you picked the right team.
Yeah.
All right. You're a man who's clearly passionate about food. Fine cuisine, we'll say. What's your favorite Oreo, Nick?
Yeah, I mean, same as with when I'm cooking as well. It kind of comes back to like the classics. Some people would call them basics. I'm just a fan of like the original Oreo. Like something so perfect about the ratio of like the biscuits not too mm-hmm. sweet and like not too much stuffing. And like a lot of the flavors I'm not really like too fond of, especially like the very gimmicky flavors. It's like something very like nostalgic and perfect about like the regular Oreo, dip it in milk, you know, it's just perfect. But definitely like mini Oreos is close second.
Oh yeah.
Very, very addicting.
Still haven't found anyone that said the Lady Gaga Oreos yet.
Oh, God, those are awful. Those are so bad.
Hopefully we never find them. Those.
Oh, ass. They tasted like ass. Oh, they were like the golden cookie. It was the golden cookie, and it was pink and green. And oh, it was so bad. I took one bite and threw the rest of them away. They were
I ate that entire package. I don't respect myself as a person.
I think you guys neither have a lot more flavors than we do.
I was going to say, are there any like weird flavors that we don't get up here?
Ben Simmons flavored Oreo?
What?
Just tastes like bricks, man.
Oh, okay, almost spit up water. That was good. Okay. Well, let's just transition. We were just kind of curious, like, is there a, like, what's your dream vacation? A place you would love to go to that you kind of like on your bucket list of things to do in your life?
Well, actually, kind of funny that you asked this question because me and my partner are actually about to go on this trip. She's currently in America. She's staying in Maine. And she's teaching at like a summer camp there. She's doing like water sports and stuff, I think. And when she's done there, we're going to go in Europe. I'm going to meet her there. And then we're going to kind of tour around. And kind of like for me, because it's like I'm so young, I haven't really been overseas much before. And it's like everything is so new that I'm happy to see everything. So just like kind of taking our time to go along like the countryside of Europe. And it's kind of like not necessarily super touristy things, but it's like get a feel for the cities and like kind of just walk around, enjoy ourselves. But definitely want to go to Green Bay someday. That's like column B. Like this past year, I was 100% convinced that the Packers were going to go on the dream run. And I told my boss, I was like, if they're in the Super Bowl, I'm taking my holiday. I'm dumping my savings. I'm going. like there's no question about it. Because like I thought Rodgers was going to retire. You know, I thought like, you know, the dream team was coming together. Whitney Merciless came back. Z came back. And I was like, it's happening. Like, I'm going to go. And then it didn't. So, you know, haven't been.
And then it didn't. Yep, that still hurts. Was the worst. I remember all of our hopes. It felt like everything was coming together perfectly. The stars were aligning, and then they just absolutely laid an egg, or special teams absolutely laid an egg, and here we are.
Sigh. It's real tender.
So as a longtime listener of the show, you know that in addition to the Packers, we talk a lot about food. And we also talk about movies, TV shows, and everything else under the sun. Yes. So, curious, what's your guilty pleasure movie or your favorite movie that you like to watch and just put on when you're maybe bored one day?
Yeah, I saw Dusty talking about Pacific Rim last week. Movie is like, it's definitely, it's so like visually stimulating. You know, there's like explosions and like monsters and robots. There's even an Australian robot. Mm-hmm. Shout out. That's pretty cool. But for me personally, growing up, it was always either Grease. I think it's probably the best musical of all time. It's so entertaining, even if it's like the content's a bit outdated, a bit messed up. Or Stardust, I think it was directed by Robert Zemeckis, the adaptation of the Neil Gaiman book.
That was the game art, yeah.
That movie is like, it's just so entertaining. It's like, you know, not necessarily maybe the best, you know, most like cohesive plot or whatever, but just so entertaining. It's like raw entertainment value. You got like, you know, all like the fantasy tropes. You got like witches and there's like cool magic and like, yeah, just so entertaining. Never gets old.
Gaiman knows what he's doing, man. He knows what he's doing. All right, so I'm curious about this one. I am interested about this one because it's a question we've asked to people in the past. You get it's kind of the stock answers. I'm kind of curious where this goes for you being in Australia. Yeah. If you could pick one person to narrate your life, who would it be?
So for this one, I didn't end up choosing an Australian. I chose Giancarlo Esposito.
I like that.
I'm a big fan of The Boys. I don't know if you guys have watched that show.
Yes, and love it.
He's just like so like his the way he delivers his lines is so like clinical. It's like very similar to the way he kind of plays like Gus Fring in some ways. I just think because sometimes I get quite nervous or I overthink things, and I think his voice is just so like calming, almost like meditative, and I think he would kind of like he would say things in a very like matter of fact way, and I feel like it would be very very calming to me, very grounding. And he just seems like, yeah, you know, it's just like his voice is just so like satisfying. Straight up, it's just satisfying.
I hadn't thought of him. I like that's a. I feel like if he was voices in my head, I would feel like I was being threatened all the time. Like I'm just on the verge of getting murdered in a given moment. But I like it. I dig it. I like living on that razor's edge there. That's good.
All right. So you said you kind of started following the Packers 2016. So this last question we got to get to know you a little bit more. It'll be a little more recent, but what is your like all time favorite Packers memory?
Oh, there's so many good ones. That playoff game, in Matt LaFleur's first season, the Seattle one, that was like incredible. Kind of seeing them go to the playoffs again after that like 2 year drought. But for me, I think the biggest was probably that unforgettable 2018 season opener. We all know what went down. I was like 17. I was in English class because the games play at like that was a Thursday night game, right? And it played like in the middle of my English class, like 10 in the morning. And, you know, not supposed to be watching football games. I'm in class, but, you know, had it on anyway. And this, like, seeing Rodgers go down, my friends watched me go through the full spectrum of emotion. I'm, like, devastated because I'm like, we just lost him for a season. Can't have two seasons in a row where he's just, like, not there. And he comes back, you know, and you're like, oh, my God, it's happening. And, like, you can just feel the energy in the stadium. Comes back and like, you know, slowly starts putting points on the board, that deep shot to Geronimo Allison, you're like, oh mate. And then yeah, you know, I'm there and like he's about to tie the game up, not Randall Cobb again, you know, scores, and I'm there initially like slamming the table in English class, and my poor English teacher, bless her heart, she was just like reading a book and trying to get us to like do our work. I was just absolutely losing it, and my friend had to calm me down. I didn't really want to get in trouble or whatever, but the adrenaline, you know, you guys know that adrenaline, that feeling you get when like such intense moments, it's unforgettable. Kind of like, yeah, like, and not to drag on too much, but this, the Cardinals game in the year past, I watched it with my partner and she had to calm me down. I thought we were going to lose when Kyler Murray was in the red zone. I was like, oh, you're kidding me. Like we're so close. Get the pick. I'm like up yelling, slamming the walls. I'm like, oh, losing it. But yeah, so good.
It's awesome. You sound like a true Packer fan. I love it. Fit right in Wisconsin. Well, awesome. That's it's great to kind of get to learn a little bit more about you and understand what where your fandom came from. So you want to tell the people too your Twitter handle, so if they want to give you a follow, that, I mean, we'd love to get you your stats padded a little bit as well.
Yeah.
So go ahead.
So my Twitter handle is at NicholasGRGR, NicholasGRGR. I've been curious about like what it would look like if I ever made a podcast, because I looked really hard to see if there was anyone in Australia doing a podcast, and there's basically no one. So like, yeah, we'll see. Yeah, I know the last listener started their own podcast, you know. Could be like their own Packaday podcasting tree in years to come. But I enjoy engaging with a lot of the guys on Packers Twitter are so lovely. You know, obviously like you guys, super, super sweet. Andy, Peter from the other side. You know, it's really, really great to engage with you guys on Twitter from so far away.
Yeah, I mean, listen, if you started one, I have a feeling it'd be good. Hey, We Like Your Pod was the one that Matt Pickett started off of ours.
Yeah.
The pack a day tree starts looking better than the Belichick coaching tree. Like that's not bad.
Not bad at all.
You know, we get royalties though if you do start something along those lines. Yeah.
Matt and Don haven't given us any yet though, but we're waiting at some point.
We'll get there. Well, all right, we're going to switch it around now, give you an opportunity to ask us some questions, things that have been burning on your mind, so we'll give you the floor.
Yeah, so my first question was kind of going off what Sarah asked me. It was, like, what is the first thing that you guys think of when you hear about Australia? Like, what comes to mind?
for me, it's something you kind of talked about, honestly. I had a biology teacher in high school, and she lived in Australia for a few years. Yeah. And she would talk about how, like, driving home from work, wherever she was working at the time, and how it was like you'd have to scan up ahead of you because kangaroos would just jump in front of you.
Yes.
And that lady ended up being like borderline insane and made up a whole lot of stories. So I had my mind like, this is not true. But then you confirm that that is actually true. So
yes,
that is something that comes to my mind. It was like driving slowly through Australia so you don't hit a kangaroo. And apparently that's accurate. So.
I hate to admit it, but the first thing that I think of is that video from Twitter of the kangaroo that kidnapped the dog, and yes, then the guy, the owner, comes up and punches the kangaroo in the face. Like, that's wild. Like, no, there's no deer that's going to come kidnap a dog and then you go punch a deer in the face. But like, the kangaroo is ready to box. Like, that was just insanity. So yeah, that was like, when I think of Australia, that's legit the first thing that pops in my head.
Yeah, and it's actually really crazy because that's like super, super, super dangerous to do that. Like, when you go to the zoo or whatever to see like kangaroos, they strictly order you to not look kangaroo in the eye, because especially if you go to like open zoos where you can kind of like touch them or whatever, like if you look them in the eye, they'll lose it because it's like a dominance thing. So for him to actually like square up against that kangaroo and like actually hit it, it was actually like, it's actually a pretty big deal, because you can like, what they do is they kind of like bounce off their tail and they'll like kick you. So yeah, props to him. The legend.
A legend. And for me, which is cool that you live there, it's actually just Melbourne. So yeah. I grew up and was born and raised in Melbourne, Florida. So it's very common whenever I have run into people where I say, like, what? I did. That's where I'm from, Steve. Why are you giving me
I'm
that
I'm fully
look?
Aware that's where you're from, sir.
Things can also kill you in Florida, Steve. The bugs can kill you in Florida as well.
Anyway,
what do you think about Australia? I think about where I grew up in Florida.
No, I just think of Melbourne. Like, the first thing I think of is that, because I have a personal connection. But I also, and I don't know if it's just from textbooks growing up and like in social studies class reading things, but I always think of the opera house too.
Yes.
And like seeing that picture of it on the water, that's an image that comes to mind right away. And of course kangaroos and the other things that they said, but yeah, those were a couple for me.
Yeah actually, yeah, it's really funny. Yeah, there's quite a few like suburbs and stuff in Melbourne that have similar names to like American cities as well. Like, we have just outside of the city, we have like Brooklyn. We have our own Brooklyn. So, you know, probably not as probably not as hectic, but yeah, basically the same, right? Next question. What Packer have you had the biggest soft spot for in recent memory? So like, what I mean by that is like someone who maybe doesn't necessarily wasn't the best player, but someone who you kind of like, you just really resonated with on a personal level, or you just kind of like really wanted them to succeed.
I love Randall Cobb. Randall Cobb is like almost always my answer for this. I know he's had success, but I know people that know him, and he graduated from UK when I was here and everything. So I've always loved him. I will go back just because his career, he was much loved, I think, when he was in Green Bay. His career was very short. I'll go Eddie Lacy. Eddie Lacy kind of takes a lot of jokes for his weight at the time and all of that. And I mean, I think if he didn't run on a crab meat ankle against the Cowboys, like I kind of just wonder what his career would have been. He's been kind of, again, kind of a post-career punching bag a little bit. And I just, anytime I see that, I just, my rage level starts going up a little bit. Like, you don't know what he was, because he just seems like such a genuinely good dude. So I'll go Eddie Lacy, I think.
That's a good one. For me, I think this is just in recent memory, it would be Kurt Benkert. Like, I know he wasn't going to play and that he was a practice squad guy, but he was just such a good guy. Absolutely, as many people in the Packers universe say, carried the G, and I just wanted the best for him. And I saw he was working out, I believe, with the Texans yesterday. Yeah. And I just wished the very best for him always. And you know, I was sad when he got cut. I understood it, but yeah, he's somebody that I was rooting for and that I kind of had a soft spot for.
I think I'd go with Jamal Williams. It was just, he was just so much fun to have on the team, and just such a positive force of energy, like before the game, during practice, and training camp, mini camp, whatever it was. Like, that man just had a smile on his face and everybody loved being around him. And it was just kind of like, you know, the writing was on the wall when they brought AJ Dillon in, but he still went out and did his job and did it well, and then went to Detroit and still doing things over there. So, you know, sucks that he's not with the Packers, but man, that, like, when he was there for 4 years, it was just, he was just a, one of those guys that was just amazing to have on the team.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And you guys might have seen, like, I had a little typo on the question. MVS is definitely my guy. You know, kind of, yeah, like watching them go through, like, yeah, watching him go through the struggles of, like the promising rookie year, sophomore slump, you know, and he's seeing, like, kind of like realizing it in 2020. Yeah, really awesome. So when you, I think for you guys watching the football game, it's like almost like a whole day experience when you have like the tailgate and like being at the stadium and stuff. Like, I just wanted to ask, what is your like one quintessential like game day snack or food? Like, I guess like you have like chicken wings is like probably a big one, right?
Yeah, it's buffalo wings for me. I think, yeah, I think like I usually watch it with a couple of brothers and a friend of mine. We go to someone's house. So it'll change up, yeah, you know, depending on the week, but we're usually eyeing those buffalo wings at the very least.
Same, buffalo wings or a chicken sandwich, burger, anything in that category. For sides, but like buffalo chicken dip is always absolutely fire. Yeah. I love that. Steve, I don't know. I know you're a big fan of chili. Would that be one of yours?
That was going to be my answer. Yeah. So normally, yeah, as soon as the there's a little bit of coolness in the air, then that's when the first batch of chili will hit the crock pot. You know, yeah, always love tinkering with it. And then it just, you can have it, you know, have it at noon. But then on Sundays where the games are going all day long, then it's just have a bowl for lunch and then have a bowl for dinner. And your stomach really hurts at the end of the night. But, you know, it's been a good day. And then some of the Fritos as a dipper. Those are always good. So
strong.
I would say that. And then, yeah, like kind of like Sarah said, like dips, like a taco dip or a buffalo chicken dip is always a solid thing to have to snack on.
Yeah.
All right, well, Steve, I'll have to send you. There's this TikTok trend that's going around right now. And it's basically a voiceover. And it's Joe Buck saying like, oh, it's a chilly December night at Lambeau Field and we're going to have some fun. And it, and somebody posted it the other day and it was like point of view. You're just bringing the chili out of the slow cooker. It's finally getting cold outside. Football is on, like nature is healing. I'm like, that's literally Steve every year when he sends us on Sunday that he has is having chili.
I'm not on the TikTok, Sarah, but if you can send it to me in some other form,
the TikTok, yeah,
the TikTok. Isn't that what all the youths are calling it?
Precisely.
Oh God.
Right, and finally, as the Aaron Rodgers Hail Mary highlight was for me, what was the moment that truly hooked you in to the Packers fandom that made you want to wake up and do this, cover the Packers?
Like, I don't know that I have one specifically. We've talked about this before. Like, I kind of grew up, I did not grow up in Green Bay. I've never lived in Green Bay, but I grew up raised as a Packers fan from a young age. So, like, I don't know that there was a choice for me. I mean, I could have made a choice, I guess, but there was not really a choice for me to be made where there was something that was like, my brother has a story. My oldest brother is a Patriots fan, and his origin story is like seeing some insane play on a year they went 2-14. And it's still like seared in his memory. For me, it was just, I like the Packers because I like the Packers. I mean, I remember, I think I was 15, the Yancey Thigpen drop the day before Christmas. That got the, it was a Packers Steelers game. I think if the Packers lost, they were not going to make the playoffs. And if they won, they got in the playoffs. And just Yancey Thigpen, like, I think it was fourth down, corner of the end zone, just ball bounced off his chest. And the Packers ended up winning that game. So I remember we were caroling in an old folks home up in Indiana. And that game was on TV. I remember watching that game on TV. So I remember that. Obviously, then the Super Bowl was the next year. But yeah, I didn't. Like, it was one of those, I grew up a fan of the Packers, but we never lived there. So I didn't get a chance to watch a whole lot because before Favre got there, like, they weren't on national TV because they were terrible. But yeah, I know Steve probably has a better answer than I do.
Yeah, I lived through that stuff. I definitely lived through that. But I mean, I remember Don Magic Man Mikowski. But I think one of the biggest things that got me hooked was my dad actually worked in South Carolina. And when he came back he had gone to the University of South Carolina where Sterling Sharp went, and I got a Sterling Sharp South Carolina jersey. And so I wore that thing every day. Like, I wore it as often as possible. And just seeing Sterling Sharpe, like, he's kind of the one that drew me in. Like, the man was just so talented, and like seeing football for the first time and like kind of being old enough to actually understand what was going on. Yeah. And then seeing Sterling Sharpe be so good. He's the guy that kind of him and Mikowski were the two that really got me going.
Yeah, and for me, you know, I kind of just grew up in a Packers household. That was the team that my dad rooted for, and then my mom began rooting for. So as a kid, it was just, hey, you're a Packers fan. This is who you are. This is what our family does. We watch the games on Sunday, you know, when they were on TV, where we lived. So if I had to pinpoint, you know, where it kind of became real for me, I guess it's when I went to my first game as a child. And, you know, we drove down to Miami and we went, and I've told this story before on the podcast, you know, it's 1,000 degrees outside and in the fall in Florida. And, you know, I went, we were so far away, you could barely see the players. And I think my parents thought I was going to hate it. And I ended up loving it. And that, you know, from there, I'm wearing the t-shirts, I'm buying the trading cards with my brother, and we're just kind of into it. And I don't remember, you know, looking back on my childhood and growing up, since then, I don't really remember a point where we didn't do that on the weekends, or we didn't talk about football, or we weren't playing. I think Madden was a really big part of it too. We were always playing Madden on our GameCube, and we'd always want to be the Packers. We would argue about who would get to play as the Packers. And from there, just growing up, then actually, you know, getting a bit older and understanding, oh, this is how the plays actually work, you know, this is, you know, the different skill sets that are required, and really beginning to understand it, and then meeting, you know, friends at school that understood it and playing fantasy. And from there, it just exploded into what it is now.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to throw one more memory out there, because this one just sprung to mind when Steve was talking about Sterling Sharpe. This was in 92. It was Packers Lions, and there was so much snow on the field. I think it ended up being a 65-yard touchdown to Sterling Sharpe. But he pulled up
short of the goal line. Dropped the ball early.
He didn't drop it, but he pulled up. He crossed the five and thought it was the end zone, and someone knocked it out of his hand, and he recovered it in the end zone. I remember watching that, because you couldn't see, like, you just had, I think, like, you know, every 5 yard was like was plowed. So I remember like seeing this snow game where you couldn't even see what was going on, and the players did not know if it was a touchdown or not. So I remember that was another one that hooked me early, I think.
I think especially for you guys, because you grew up like with American football around you, is kind of like, I think for a lot of people, they have that moment where they go from being like being told to be a fan, or like being encouraged to be a fan of a team, and then like consciously deciding that, oh, actually this is the team that I want over the other teams. Like, this is like why my team is better or whatever, you know. It's like, yeah, I find it really interesting to hear about that.
What is, just out of curiosity, what is the big sport in Australia? Is it rugby? Is that the main sport?
It really depends where you live. Like, we have AFL. I don't know how much you guys have watched the Pat McAfee show. I know, like, you guys used to like cover it and stuff, but he got quite into it last year. Aussie rules football, I guess, as you'll probably say. And that's kind of like if like football was like just punting, basically, right? I'm not actually personally a very big fan.
Sounds awesome.
I'm not the biggest fan. Like, my partner's dad is like something of like the equivalent of college football to the NFL. He's kind of like a legend in like that here in Australia. He won like 2 championships, and he coached, and he played for this team for like 20 years with his dad at the same time as well. I mean, a lot of people are like AFL fans, but when you go to the New South Wales or Queensland, a lot of people are like diehard rugby fans. And a lot of people who live there, they'll call that football instead of the Australian Football League. It really depends where you live. My family actually hates sport, so I'm the only one who follows it.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
We did get a couple of fan questions. There were several of them that were based, I mean, honestly, like, there were several of them based all about the offensive line. So we kind of took Matt Pickett's question, and that's kind of encompassed in a lot of the other ones. So we'll get reactions from all you guys. So he wanted to know, given what we've seen, heard, or read, what do you think are the most likely players on the starting offensive line in week 1? Also, what's your favorite position battle to monitor and why? So, Nick, we'll give you, do you want to answer some of these two?
Absolutely. No.
You good? All right. Well, let's start with you then, because we normally let Dusty handle all the heavy lifting on these type of things. So we'll give you the opportunity to look even smarter than Dusty.
Yeah, with the O-line, it's really hard because we still really don't know what's going on with like Bakhtiari, and like, you know, him and Jenkins are like looking good, but you know, kind of like could have said that last year, right? And so it's really hard to tell. But if we kind of ignore those guys that are on the pup, I think like what they had today was like Josh on the left side, Runyon, Myers, and then Newman at right guard with Tom on the right side, which I think, yeah, it's like, if especially how much they generally trust the guys who've been around for a bit longer, is probably like a decent shot that's going to end up being it. But I think because Tom played left tackle in college, right? So what I would guess if they don't have their guys is probably Tom ends up left tackle, Runyon left guard, Myers at center, and probably Sean Ryan at right guard. I'm a really big Ryan guy. And I think he could like almost instantly kind of like plug and play, and Nyman at right tackle.
All right, Dusty, take it away.
Yeah, I mean, it's was that last week, 2 weeks ago? We talked about over-unders for Bakhtiari.
yeah,
I think that was last week. And I think I set it at like 3.5 games or something. So I'm you know, like kind of taking the approach Nick did. Excuse me. We're like, those guys on the pup, I assume Jenkins is not starting week one. Bakhtiari, I certainly hope so, but at this point, not banking on it. So I'm kind of going, I mean, roughly the same, except I've got Nyman left tackle, Runyon left guard, Myers in the middle. I know they've been working Tom a lot out at tackle, but they've also been working Royce Newman a lot at tackle. So I'm actually going Tom right guard, and then Royce Newman at right tackle is kind of the alignment I'm going with. And then a favorite positional battle, the monitor. I go cornerback. I'm really interested in that group. We've got the top three of Alexander, Stokes, Douglas. And after that, it's anyone's game. And so you've been hearing some buzz about a handful of different guys. I know Shamar John Charles, who was what, fifth round pick last year.
I got one of those.
Fifth round pick last year, who was kind of undersized, but I really liked him just because he showed a lot of good things as far as intelligence and tackling. And I think I like him a lot. It sounds like he's making some noise. Rico Gafford, who I believe was a cornerback turned wide receiver turned cornerback again, has been making some noise. Nixon is kind of a Bisaccia guy, but he's kind of a guy to watch. And then Kebion Ento, who's kind of a camp darling last year, and he's kind of back in the mix. So I think that group right there, there's enough guys. There's that fourth, fifth, sixth spot even up for grabs. And so all those guys are kind of making noise to get it. So I'm really curious and interested to see where that goes.
Yeah, and with offensive line, I don't think I really need to elaborate much. It's going to be some variation of what Dusty and Nick said. I really liked the offensive line that was starting on Tuesday. You know, Nick had mentioned it was Josh, Runyon, Myers, Newman, and Tom. That's a really interesting mix, and kind of excited to see how they build on that. But as always, feel really good about this group. You know, the O-line every year is one where you're like, wow, that's a deep position group. They have the depth that's necessary there. Hopefully Bakhtiari and Jenkins can come back sooner rather than later. But like you said, Dusty, I'm not feeling particularly great about that right now, and I don't want to get my hopes up. And we also know that the Packers are very conservative. So come week one, they're going to probably want the guys in there that have actually been able to participate as full participants in training camp. And that are 100% healthy, and they don't want to take any risks. I mean, God forbid they put Bakhtiari out there or something and he's still not 100% ready, and then he ends up being out for most of or the whole season because he rushed back. So at this point, let's just continue to take our time with it. For my favorite positional battle to monitor, I'm really interested in what's happening with the safeties right now. You know, it seemed obvious that yes, Amos and Savage would be the two, but a lot of interesting things from Sean Davis. You know, we were talking about a little bit before we record that Levitt, you know, he's a Bisaccia guy and he's really, you know, causing some noise in camp and bringing things to the table. So kind of just interested to see how it shakes out. I know that with Savage and Amos, they can kind of move them out of that traditional role from time to time, and they can be a bit more flexible. So maybe if some of these other guys like Davis are stepping up, then they can move them around and have a lot of fun. But the defense, specifically the secondary, just in general, you know, obviously safety and cornerback are shaping out really nicely. And I love that it feels like for the first time in a bit that it's really competitive in that group, where before it was just, okay, this is who's going to be the starters and really nothing after that. So it's nice to, that there's some sort of conversation.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really, like, again, you guys have covered the offensive line, I think, enough to the point where it's going to be some combination of that. I mean, obviously, Bakhtiari is going to be a big one as to what's going on there. But honestly, that's the thing I'm watching the most right now, is what's going on with that offensive line, where they're moving people. Obviously, Green Bay is huge on positional versatility for the offensive line. They love getting them all over the place, training them on multiple positions. So if somebody goes down, like Elgton Jenkins was that guy before he went down. He could play left tackle, right tackle, guard, center, whatever they needed. If somebody went down, they could move him. So obviously they like doing that, but I just kind of like seeing where they're putting these guys and what positions they're putting them in. So it's pretty fascinating. So should be fun to watch for the rest of training camp. And we do have one more question, and it's very, very on brand for us. So it's from at @cheesehead_Eric. What is the best part of the Oreo, the cookie or the cream? So, Nick, we'll start with you, and please know that we will be judging this answer very thoroughly.
Oh, such a hard question. For me, it's so hard because, like, yeah, it's like the combination of both, right? I think if I could only have one, it would be, it has to be the biscuit. It's like, I don't know, I'm not really like, when it comes to like cakes, I don't really like frosting or icing that much. And like eating just filling would like drive me insane. So I think I'd have to go with the biscuit. Pretty good biscuit. And it has, you know, cool patterns on it. So it's a plus.
I'll have to go the same. I think, listen, man, there's a reason why we don't like the most stuffed Oreos. And it's because there's too much. I could eat a basket. I don't know how big the basket, a basket full of just the cookies. But if you give me a spoonful of like just the filling, like I will throw it back in your face. So yeah, it's too much. So yeah, it's the cookie.
I agree. You know, we're 3 for 3 right now. So Steve, no pressure. But I also love dunking the cookie in milk. And yes, we've talked about this, that the golden Oreo is just not the same when you do that. You're like, ugh, it doesn't hit the same.
It's not an Oreo.
Yeah, it's just like, okay, cool. Like I just ate, I don't know, a plain cracker. That's what it tastes like. And yes, the cream helps. I know there's different flavors and people go crazy for the different flavors, but like Nick said, we're all about the classics. And that, you know, chocolate traditional Oreo, it's my favorite.
Yeah, I mean, it's a clean sweep for us. I'm very much like Teddy KGB from Rounders, where I sit there and I will try to crack the Oreo perfectly to the point where it's one perfect cookie with nothing on it and one cookie with the cream on it. So, and then I will eat them separately. And so, yeah, absolutely, that's the way to go for sure. Well, guys, that's going to almost wrap it up here. Obviously, we want to thank Nick for coming on, but we're going to do a couple of final thoughts. So, Nick, we're going to start with you. If you're up for it, if you got anything you just want to put out there, if you do write articles, I mean, if you have a restaurant in Australia you're going to tell people to go to, like, what the floor is yours.
Yeah, well, I think I'm contractually obligated to plug the restaurant that I work at. I really love working there. My head chef is Canadian, so I guess that's like close enough to Wisconsin, right? So it's called
basically the same.
It's called Pippi's Kiosk. On Instagram, you can find it at PIPISKIOSK. If you're ever in the neighborhood, in the other Melbourne, you know, definitely come swing past. But but yeah, otherwise for me, not a whole lot. It's like I used to play American football, and like I hope to start playing again once I kind of like have more free time. But like a lot of those guys that I played with didn't really follow the NFL as much as they followed college. So it was really awesome to talk to you guys and kind of get like, yeah, like, you know, very like-minded fanatic opinions and like talk to you guys about these kind of things, because it's this or through Twitter at like 3 a.m. So yeah, thanks for today, guys.
Absolutely, we loved it.
Thanks for coming on. It was great to get to know you and just we love hearing about Packers fan stories and, you know, how everyone fell in love with the Packers, just like we did and like so many other people did. And, you know, we talk a lot about this on this podcast about how whether you have a podcast or you blog or you do things on YouTube or you just like to live tweet during the games, that the Packers community is really unique, that we have the opportunity to connect with so many people from all over the world.
Yeah.
And I love that. It's one of my favorite things about doing this podcast and, you know, previously writing at Cheesehead TV. So thanks for joining us and sharing and being willing to share, you know, your story and perspective, and look forward to keeping in touch with you. You know, we still talk with Matt just every now and then, and, you know, we have some banter with him on Twitter. So looking forward to this season, you know, catching up with you from time to time. And, you know, if you ever do start a podcast, like, let us know. Always happy to help you out. And whether it's just questions or, you know, looking for guests or topics. So really enjoyed having you on and getting to know you.
Awesome.
Yeah. I echo Sarah's thoughts. I mean, that was, we talked at the beginning. I mean, we know we kind of, talk into the void every single week and are lucky to have people listen. It's awesome to be able to connect with you, someone who, again, for some reason listens, and we thank you for that and getting caught up with you. And I mean, your unique perspective being from Australia, not only from Australia, but I think that was kind of one of the selling points in the, you know, people submitted all their stories and everything. We love the idea. We got to talk to the guy whose origin story is watching Aaron Rodgers highlights and falling in love with that. We thought that was kind of a very awesome and unique way. So that was great to hear your story. Great talking to you again. If you start a podcast, start writing, do anything, you just, man, just hit us up. We'll be your biggest supporters and cheerleaders and all of that. So just really awesome talking to you. And I guess I'll pimp my stuff. Do I pimp my stuff now? I guess
this is So
I had my Devontae thing go up last week, where I looked at the explosive plays the Packers generated with him versus without him. I'm trying to work on a follow up to that, and then the season's like, the first preseason game is like next week. So, man, I'm under the gun here. I got to get this done. So we'll see if something gets done. I'm looking at how Lazard was used with Devontae versus the games when he was out, or possibly kind of the Packers' quick passing game and how they did that with Devontae versus without, because there are enough differences. I've looked at those and kind of compared the numbers conceptually, what they did and all that. And there are some very clear patterns that are kind of coming out during that. So right now it's just a matter of, do I have time to do it? So I don't know if I do, but keep an eye out. Hopefully next week I'll have at least one, maybe two pieces, or maybe zero pieces. Who knows? Look, it's all a mystery. It's a grand mystery. So
beautiful, beautiful.
I was just going to say a beautiful mystery.
See, I feel like I said that recently and then went over. Do the joke, but yeah, it's a beautiful mystery.
I would just say, like, obviously a big thank you to Nick for joining us, and we'd record this at night, and Sarah even made this joke. Nick is recording the Wednesday edition of the Pack a Day podcast on Wednesday, which has never been done before. So kudos to you for being the first ever. But to me, it's just all about the Packers community. Like, it's an amazing thing. Like, when people aren't going crazy, like, it's really a community of people that really will do anything to help each other. And it's, so this was just a lot of fun, and I'm glad we did it again, and I look forward to doing it again next off season. And so thank you to Nick for joining us. Make sure you guys follow us on Twitter at Dusty Evely, at Sarah Keller 4, at Steve Perhatch, at Nicholas GRGR, and at Packaday Podcast. We will be back next week talking some more Packers football and getting ready for some preseason games and all that kind of good stuff. But thank you guys for listening. And as always, go Pack, go.